It's time for your Encourage Community Foundation update. Encourage Community Foundation is located at 478 Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids, a beautiful building right across from Hotel Mead. And you can reach them on phone by calling 715-423-3863. And joining us is Kelly Ryan. She's here flying solo today. We got a lot of things to talk about since she heads the Encourage Community Foundation. To talk about that, but Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holiday season to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Carl. Same to you, and same to all of our listeners this morning. I'm happy to be here.
I know you folks at Encourage have are interested in what happens at events like Historic Point Boss.
Absolutely.
And it's nice to see the community support for that.
Speaking supported of, them in many ways over the years.
That, yes.
Yep.
So, yes, we have. Okay, so you just came from an important meeting.
Yes. Actually, I left this morning a training program that we're doing and has been underway now for a few months. It's, I think, interesting to listeners because it's local organizations that we feel will play a key role in community development and how we think about economic development. So Encourage, along with a number of trainers, put together a program, and the participants, I just left, I think there are nearly 50 of them, but the organizations represented are the City of Wisconsin Rapids, the county, including the Health Department, Economic Development and Planning and Zoning, the YMCA, Farm Shed, which is our regional farm-to-table and food movement, as well as the Wisconsin Rapids, the Housing Authority, and Encourage. Really, really interesting and powerful training there, where everybody is learning similar concepts about how do we approach working together. How do we think about using different kinds of community development financing tools? How do we engage the people that live in this community in the process of making decisions about economic development and growth? So I'm excited about it, and I walked out of the room to come over here to talk to you, and I thought, oh, I'd love to just, we've not broadly publicized it because we're really doing, and I have to say kudos to the organizations that are committing, and they're committing a lot of time to be in the room collectively together and to work on how can we work most effectively to grow the economy here in our area.
And I think that builds on what we've seen, like with the United Way and getting all the different groups that that address various problems together to form a cohesive strategy. You mentioned getting public involvement. The City of Wisconsin Rapids and the local municipalities are right now doing that survey, housing needs.
Yes.
I got a copy at the Chamber of Commerce last night, and it's easy. And folks, you can pick it up at the Chamber. There are a lot of different places, and we'll be talking more about it on Community Calendar. You could fill it out online, but it's a way to get the public's input. What are our future housing needs? What do you want in terms of housing options?
Exactly, right. Perception, because perception, reality. What's the reality in terms of the housing stock that we own, in terms of availability and affordability? And then what is the desired kind of housing stock, right? So we talk about a community that works well for all,
right?
So that there are housing options for all people, as well as a community that attracts and retains young adults and families. And if we want to continue to serve an aging and older population, we need to pay attention to housing and services. We also need to pay attention to housing and services if we want to attract and grow that young adult and family segment of our population. So housing is important, and I'd encourage the listeners, whether you feel that you have an opinion or you will add value, participate. You might not be able to answer all the questions, but answer some, because everybody participating makes a difference.
Yeah, that's it. It's the more answers, the more info they can put into this, the better the report will be and the more valuable the report will be. And it's not just for Wisconsin Rapids, Grand Rapids, it's the whole region. And we're The more people that can help out, the better.
Yes, and you know who I just, walking out the door from the training, I ran into Sue Wesley.
Oh, yes.
Who I just want to give a mention to. Tremendous volunteer effort on her part and her group to do the Christmas tree walk at the Historical Society. And the intention there was to really open the Historical Society, the museum, get more people in there mm-hmm. to see what an asset it is.
Right.
I have heard nothing but fabulous things from people that have that participated and attended.
She was here.
Was she talking about it here on the radio? Okay,
yeah,
good.
She had her and, my brain just got a cramp. But we had the two ladies here talking about it on the Community Spotlight.
Okay, great.
I did it during the noon report, and they credited. They said a lot of people who didn't even know it was happening heard about it on the noon show.
Nice.
And told their friends, and Pam and I went there after church and brunch on Sunday, and the place was packed, but it was beautiful.
Yes, that's what
it was. Yep. Fabulous.
Yeah, that's exactly what I hear. I want to mention a bit more about that and our role in it.
Yeah, I know
it,
you were one of
because
the...
Well, it's not. I don't want to talk about us per se. I want to talk about Sue Wesley.
Okay, go ahead.
And the people that had the idea.
Okay, cool.
So they had a great idea. And their idea was, how do we get more people from the community, A, to understand or come inside of the museum, to...
which is a home, and it's a beautiful building.
Yes, it is, to connect with our own history locally.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a collective idea. And
okay.
What Encourage has is a grant program that we call What If.
Okay.
And What If... are grants that are led by residents. So in this case, one person has a great idea about building the community in whatever passion or interest area they have. So Sue's interest area was Historical Society and history. And she formed a working group, and they went to What If to the grant process. The other thing I will say is, in that grant process, it's not Encourage that's making the decisions. It's residents that screen the applications and requests from residents, and they decide. So I'm saying this because this is open to everyone that lives in Southwood County. They're up to $2,500 grants, and it's for any good idea that helps bring people together and build a stronger community. So there's a lot more information on that. I just want to give Sue and her group kudos.
They did a beautiful job. I love the fact that when you walked in, there were people stationed throughout the museum to describe the either the various trees or the room or that you're looking at, and it was very friendly and interactive, and people got to see not only the trees and beautiful trees, but then they saw all the historic displays.
Yes.
And they're going, I didn't know this was here.
Yes.
And we're talking to each other, interacting with each other. Look at that. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes.
I mean, I think they succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked everybody to sign in, and, you know, and the encouragement when you left, they said, please come back during the season, our regular season, to see this museum in full. It's a historic, beautiful home, and it is a walk back in time. I know that the one children's area was beautiful, but there's a classroom area where they had the little desks. An old doctor's office. It was scary.
So I just want to give credit where credit is due, and it's people in the community who have a great idea of the community and want to see it thrive and grow and come together to do exactly that. It doesn't have to be history. It can be research on Lake Nepco. It can be a new butterfly garden at Lake Wazicha. I can tell you a list of things where people have come in. So anyway, I just wanted to give kudos to Sue and mention that for the listeners. Mm-hmm. Find out more about What If grants if you have a good idea in your neighborhood. The first one was over in Ward 1. A woman named Kathy Rosh, who wanted to bring neighbors together to help clean up the neighborhood. There's another example.
We're visiting with Kelly Ryan of the Encourage Community Foundation, getting their monthly report. And today we want to salute somebody. Mary Wirtz, my note said she was going to be here.
Yes.
As she couldn't, but I imagine she's busy.
Mary is very busy. And we want to salute Mary Wirtz because Mary is retiring at the end of this year.
17 years, I understand.
Mary, she'll hit 18 years.
Okay.
By 2016. Mary was supposed to be with me this morning, but Mary is taking care of family.
Okay.
And I think that speaks volumes about Mary and why we love Mary, why every donor that has ever made a gift to the Community Foundation, set up a fund, and worked with Mary, loves Mary.
Huh. We should mention a lot of for people that didn't realize, you know, she was a cancer survivor.
Absolutely, yes.
And throughout that whole fight, she had
she would work every day.
I know,
right? She was volunteering to help other people, and. I was walking in the door this morning thinking, you know, there is something about Mary, right?
Right.
And there's absolutely something about Mary. And just a few things I want to say about Mary is, for Mary, philanthropy mm-hmm. was not about money. Philanthropy was about love of mankind, which is the real definition of philanthropy. And I can give you statistics about what has happened under Mary's watch while she was in charge of our donor services area
mm-hmm.
that are remarkable, right? She started in 1998. We had 12 scholarships at the time. Now, since then, we have awarded 2,400 scholarships,
wow.
over 1.4 million, and Mary, in large part, has been the driving force of that process. Not that she doesn't have significant help and has, you know, actually passed ownership internally to Terry Dassow and others, mm-hmm. but every one of those scholarships has a story. And it's a family that in many cases lost a child before their time, you know, in an unfortunate automobile accident, could be suicide. We have you cannot have the number of scholarship and memorial funds that we have without having human peace, right? It's
right.
about people and relationships. And Mary never, ever forgot that and always put it first. She would not, someone would come in and say, I lost a son, you know, due to suicide. I'd like to do a memorial, but I want to do something different, right? I want to honor his memory by helping educate other young people about what the resources are available. And this is a specific example in Nakusa. It was remarkable. Mary, will be retiring from Encourage with more friends and true friends that she has a loving relationship with, and that shared love is for this community. So
that's
I could
beautiful.
Give you hundreds of examples like that. And the one thing I will say is some of your listeners might be of the age that they would remember someone, Dr. John Thompson from Nakusa,
mm-hmm.
Who was very active in that community, did a lot, you know, had a lot of ideas, and he would be in our office quite a bit, you know, over the years. And at one day I'd say, hi, Dr. Thompson, how are you doing? You know, what can I do for you? Well, I'm here to see Mary. He said, I like you, Kelly, but I love Mary, right?
Right.
And so I just want to, I do want to say in closing that, you know, Mary has done yeoman service in terms of building an understanding for philanthropy as human beings, about people and about love for this guy,
mm-hmm.
right? And she values a young man coming in on his bicycle to give us a dollar contribution to the city band
mm-hmm.
fund as much as she values someone who sits down and writes a seven-figure check. Everyone is treated the same because we all have the same love here. So I just want to publicly say we are going to miss her, but we are going to wish her very, very well.
Yes.
In a well-deserved retirement.
Yes, Mary, thank you for everything you've done for the community, and enjoy your retirement years, and I got a feeling we'll be seeing plenty of you.
Yeah. Probably. Mary's a consummate volunteer as well. You know?
I know. Speaking of which, the Tribune Building. We finally got shovels in the ground.
Lots of action happening at the Tribune building. In the short amount of time that we have left, I'll just give you a bulleted update, okay? The first is a demolition inside the building is very close to being complete. So where you had your radio offices previously, you probably would not recognize anymore. Anyone that looks at the renderings of the respective floors online, you can see that it calls for a much more open space. So the interior walls have all been demolished. All you see, for the most part, open space, the columns that were constructed to hold and bear the weight of the building are all exposed. And give kudos to our building manager, our internal building manager, Steve Turner. He's done just a fabulous job. But the local contractors, we cannot say enough about working with and them bending over backwards really to work with us and support the Tribune. And I want to just name and say thank you to Altman Construction. Current Technologies from Port Edwards, Kohl's Plumbing and Heating in Vesper, Mavo Systems out of Wausau, and they specialize in asbestos abatement. And then lastly, Tweet Garrett. So with a building that age, we expected some surprises, and certainly there are a few surprises, but nothing insurmountable. You know, we encountered what we expected in terms of asbestos, some lead paint that remediated, that kind of thing. But that's very close to being completed, and that all had to be done before we are submitting now all the final drawings to the state for final approval. So the process is moving forward. While this is happening, we have a whole team that's doing what are called Tribune 101 presentations. They have been throughout the community in presentations at schoolhouses, for educators, volunteer groups, churches. I would say if you want to learn more, listeners are part of a group. They'd like to have a presentation that learn more about what is the Tribune, what will it be, what kinds of programming will happen there. Contact our office because we have a great team of people, including a number of people that have been involved in the Tribune process that will come out and do a Tribune 101 presentation for you.
I'm glad you brought that up. Please take advantage of that, folks. Don't rely on rumors or or people who have been against this project. Find out what the facts are.
Exactly.
And there's no such at these presentations. Questions and answers are the big thing.
All of them.
It's your opportunity to ask questions and get answers from the people who have been involved with the process from the start and know what's going on and what the future holds. And hopefully, then you'll go, wow, that's going to be cool. I'd like to help out, and you can do so.
it is going to be great. So the other things that are happening simultaneously are interior design for IT systems, operation plans for the building. And we have a parallel process happening with art, and Art Place America made a grant to support the Tribune. So we had a selected group of artists that are beginning their work. One just a few weeks ago worked and opened to the public. This was open to the public to come and participate with the school children locally to create art that will be installed in that building. There's another opportunity coming up. We don't believe there's a date yet, but we'll have information on our website with a blacksmith in this area. And what he's doing is artistic rails for some aspects of the building that depict cranberry vines. But what he's doing to engage the community, which was part of the process, is inviting people into his workshop. So there's a lot of opportunities to engage. And there are two other things I want to mention. I know we're closing in on time. One is around fund development. So certainly that is full speed ahead. We are raising a lot of different kinds of money for that building. So it is a different kind of building, right? It's not just a nonprofit community center. It is a business. It will house businesses. It will house programs to support entrepreneurs and entrepreneurial development, like in that culinary kitchen. What we'll be doing is training entrepreneurs that have a business idea. And that was very intentional. We heard that loud and clear from residents. A microbrewery that will produce revenue, local cafe that will produce revenue. So the kinds of of funds that will go in to support that building are a number of kinds. Charitable gifts.
Right.
You can make a charitable gift to support the building, and there will be opportunities for anyone to do that over the next 12 months. National foundations are making what we call impact investments. So those are longer-term investments in the building itself because there is a social purpose or a social benefit. And particularly some of those interested in climate or environmental sustainability love the fact that it will be a LEED Gold building, first of its kind in downtown, and that there will be an educational component for the community around what are those LEED features? Why does it matter that we have geothermal wells for heating? Why do solar panels matter? So there's an educational component to the building as well. Lastly, I just mentioned we had a site visit last week from a foundation out of this area that has a specific interest in older adults. And we all know we have an aging population here, and they're tremendous assets. So this particular investor is interested in how do we maximize the connection of the Centralia Center being directly behind the Tribune building with the Tribune itself so that we get new connections and vitality between and across those institutions, and we provide more multi-generational opportunities for engagement, excuse me, where we value all of the talents and gifts that older adults have, bring those in. Perhaps we have older adults teaching cooking classes in the culinary kitchen.
We might have retired chefs that would be
a tremendous opportunity. Yeah. So I just share some of those as examples.
And that addresses, how is this going to be sustainable financially? You just answered a lot of that question.
Right. Well, so for the last year and a half, we've been working on revenue models that show that there will be revenue produced by the building itself, and we know that it will not cash flow for about 4 years, and that's fully expected. It's a reasonable timeline, and we have a plan to accommodate that. But what we're doing is we are seeding and growing new kinds of entrepreneurial activity downtown. Last thing before
Real
you
quick.
Cut me off is so many young people who don't live in this community anymore who love the Tribune Project or who love this community still and want to engage.